really do hope you check out that film Prosperity, especially when it's free, right? You can't beat that. But in this day and age of gloom and doom and all of the seemingly wrong decisions that are being made left and right, up and down, here and afar, you will be inspired and kind of encouraged to see what you can do in your own life once you see what others are doing to make pretty good change. And like Pedro talked about, it, in some ways it's about making things simpler, not more complicated. I hope you enjoy that film. Okay. I'm waiting for my guest to arrive, and I'm not surprised that he isn't here yet because he happens to be running restaurants, and it can be a crazy time there. But he'll be here soon, and I'm looking forward to that. But meanwhile, let's just talk about food and my experiences with food over the week. You know, I've said from time to time that when I visited friends in hospitals or medical facilities, some things have improved in some places, but not most, and not where I was this week. So I've been talking about taking my parents around, and my dad has been requiring some medical attention. He is 89 years old, and he was having a treatment this, actually, it was last Friday. Yeah. And it was a two and a half hour procedure or whatever. And they serve treats. So while you're being treated to boost your immune system with immunotherapy to fight cancer, they feed you treats. And those treats that they serve are the kind of things that are known to do what? Promote cancer. And is it what we were talking about earlier, that people really mean well and they just have been manipulated and don't know what they're really doing? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is they had some nice little energy bars that were filled with all kinds of sugary sweeteners. And while the sugar that's found in whole fruits is fine and good for us, the sugar that's processed is not and does not react the same in the body when it's not being digested with fiber. And it can do a lot of damage, and it can also grow that cancer. And there were pretzels and chips. And where were the, where was the fresh fruit? Where was the broccoli? Where were the mushrooms? Who wants to snack on those? I do. But part of it I keep thinking is they want to keep their customers coming back. The hospitals, anyway, the medical facilities. Keep them well enough so that they can buy all of these crazy products, but not that well, because you want to keep them coming back. And there's not a whole lot that I can do about it once I'm there. What I do want to do is scream, but I don't think that would get me very far if I started screaming, right? Okay. I had a chance recently to create a new dish. And actually, I'm going to be bringing on my guest soon when he shows up, which is Craig Cochran, who is the co-owner of a very new restaurant, PS Kitchen. And we've mentioned that new restaurant on the show before. I think it opened in August, and I was there mid-August. And the dish that I chose was a ginger congee. Have you ever had congee? Congee is like a rice soup where you cook rice, typically white rice, and you cook it for hours, two, three, 4 hours, so that the rice just totally falls apart and it's creamy. And you can season it typically with mushrooms and ginger. I love when it's just loaded with ginger. I made one, but I didn't use white rice because we like to use whole foods. We like to use minimally processed foods. We like to eat the whole grains with their exteriors that are filled with all kinds of important nutrients rather than the polished version of rice that takes all the good stuff off before you eat it. and I made a congee. It didn't get as creamy as the white would, and I only cooked it for about 3 hours. Maybe if I cooked it for six, it would have gotten creamier, but it was fantastic. I used black rice and red rice and brown rice and tons of ginger and some shiitake and porcini mushrooms and just cooked it up. And it wasn't complicated. Just throw it in a pot and stir it occasionally and just add water if it keeps drying up. But I love congee, and I'm so glad that I was able to make it at home. Another thing, as I deal with my parents aging and going through some of the things that they're going through, I'm committed more than ever, and I've always been committed. Maybe I should be committed to eating as healthy as I can, because, you know, a lot of us say that we don't want to become our parents. I don't want what's happening to them to happen to me. Maybe it's selfish. Yeah, it is selfish. And I will be talking to Dr. Joel Fuhrman. I think it's next week. Yeah, next week. He has a new book out called Fast Food Something or Other. It's about fast food. And the book is coming out, I think, October 17th. And we'll be talking about it next week. And I'll tell you one of the questions that I want to ask him. Maybe you know the answer. We often talk about what unhealthy lifestyles can do. We know that processed food, lots of animal products, increase the risk of cancer and heart disease and diabetes, all those chronic diseases, autoimmune diseases, and make the body age faster and make it feel not as good as it should, not as energetic as it should. The pain and the aches increase with poor lifestyle, poor diet. And then we talk about how the increase of just dying, it comes earlier when we're not taking care of ourselves. But if we do take care of ourselves and do everything known to us that we can to keep our body fit and in shape and well-nourished, what is death supposed to look like? And that's what I want to know. Do you know? Is it just we live and maybe slow down a little bit and then fall asleep? That would be nice. But do people do that? Do people that are living a really healthy lifestyle and are fit and well-nourished, is that what happens? Because I don't hear that happening very often. I'm kind of curious about it. So that's what I've been thinking about. So I'm waiting for my guest, and he's not here, and he's supposed to be on his way. Craig Cochran is quite an ambitious person, and he's put together a number of fast food vegan restaurants here in Manhattan, as well as this very new high-end PS Kitchen, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the stories about that. One of the things that I learned from eating in the restaurant PS Kitchen is when they serve bottles of water, they have fresh mint in the water. And try it at home. This is something you can do at home. Just put a sprig of mint in your water. It's fantastic. It feels really fresh. And okay, come on in, Craig. Come on in. Thank you so much. Yes, have a seat. Put your headset on, and welcome to It's All About Food.
Thanks for having me.
I can't imagine what your schedule is like.
It's interesting.
Something we did at the top of the show was something that I tell my audience I do for a living, and that's breathing.
Yeah.
And I want to give you a moment to
take a breath.
Good. He's good.
I'm good.
Great.
I'm a professional.
Yeah. I was just talking about the when we visited PS Kitchen, the water was served with fresh sprigs of mint. Are you still doing that?
We are still doing that, yeah.
I want to tell you I did it at home.
It's pretty good, right?
It's fantastic. Yeah. I'm I'm very particular about my water. So we have an under-the-sink water filter, and then I distill the water. So it's like double cleaned. And yeah. then adding them into it is just spectacular.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I've read a little bit about you. Okay. Oh, maybe I should... do I even have your bio here? Yeah, I should pull it up and tell us who you are. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, you founded a number of vegan restaurants, and I was following your story. And I want to start at somewhat of the beginning. The beginning of your story, what I want to say, is not necessarily unique for vegetarians. So you were a teenager, and you went to college, and I think a professor got you interested in vegetarianism.
Yeah, he asked, why do we eat pigs and love dogs? And, you know, we had a whole discussion about that. What's the difference between a pig and a dog, and who has dogs, and how would you feel if someone ate them, and all those things. So it just got me, certainly got me thinking.
The light went on.
The light went on. I never thought about it, really, before that. And, he challenged us to try it for a week, and that seemed very reasonable. So I tried it for a week, and now it's been 20 years. So.
Good for you. Yeah. What class was that?
Philosophy.
There you go, philosophy.
Yeah,
Yeah, I love the vegan philosophers.
You know, to this day, I don't even know if he's vegan or vegetarian.
Right.
I just think he was the kind of person that liked to push buttons and push the envelope and challenge people, really.
Yeah.
And I'm happy he did.
I'm happy he did, too, for us, because we all get to benefit deliciously. Okay, so, but what I want to say about you is it's not that unusual for people who become vegetarian, especially at a young age, to start figuring out how to make their meals interesting and tasty and kind of like what we were used to eating, all that stuff. And then we think, oh, I have to open a restaurant. And everybody says it, but very few do it, and even fewer succeed. And I'm looking at you. The success story.
Thank you. Yeah,
yep.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, I was an activist as a kid. I wanted, or you know, when I made the conversion, I guess I wanted everybody to eat that way. I thought it was so much better for everybody, and I thought I made the best arguments in the world. But when the easiest argument for me was when I put a good plate in front of someone, and it just, you know, melted all their cares away. And I said, that's when the other light bulb went off. I said, I need to make this food more accessible. The food that was available to me in Buffalo anyway was not the type of food that I was used to and that I wanted or craved. So the idea was I was actually going to move to New York to learn how to do that and go back to Buffalo and open a spot. But I fell in love with New York, and so here I am.
I love New York.
Yeah, I love it here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's all about accessibility. You named your fast food restaurants after your mom, Terry.
I did.
And what does she eat? Is she your path?
She eats closer. I don't want to say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but she's much better. I mean, we are German. My grandma's from Germany, and the things that we ate, most people would. Yeah, they'd be concerned if they
What's
saw
fascinating
our
about
diet.
Germany? Sure, the traditional diet is very meat focused, but they have a tremendous vegan movement.
They do.
They are tremendous.
Yeah, but that did not exist in 1913 when my grandma was born. But that's the other thing. I grew up with this particular palate in Buffalo, and you know, having German grandparents and growing up in Buffalo, so that's really inspired many of my dishes at Terry and also at the new restaurant PS.
A lot of times I talk on this program when I talk about vegan restaurants that there's a difference in them, I think, than most other restaurants, because in addition to wanting to provide food, and I would want to think that most restaurant owners want to provide good tasting food, maybe not necessarily healthy food, but something, an atmosphere that people would enjoy. There's this undercurrent of love and with vegan restaurant owners, and this joyful wonder, because there's so much more to it than just providing healthy food.
Yeah, I mean, it's well, thank you. I think that there are a lot of really talented people out there that are making incredible foods. And, you know, just in the 20 years that I've been vegan, it's been a huge change in all the options. But, yeah, I mean, this is something I'm passionate about. I think there's a lot of very passionate people out there right now making lots of delicious food.
Okay, now, in addition to all the wonderful things you're doing and the skills that you have, the timing is right. And because I've been vegan almost 30 years and watching different restaurants try and fail, and some of them were good, some of them were not so good, and some of them are still around but, you know, maybe not making a big splash. I don't know if you were familiar with Zen Burger when they came out.
Yeah, I was familiar with Zen Burger. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they were just before it was ready, but they didn't do everything right either, because I didn't think their food really tasted that good.
Well, I don't remember there being a lot of vegan options, for one. I remember going in there, I was super excited, and I think there was one thing I could eat.
Yeah.
And I was a little disappointed at that. I know their footprint was really big. They had a really expensive property
and
location in New York. And that's something I'm very cognizant about in New York. We have a commissary in Long Island City, which does a lot of the heavy lifting for the restaurants, and that's the way I'm able to keep the footprint small, which keeps the rents down and makes us able to stay around. Yeah,
Manhattan is very expensive.
It's insane. If I threw out some numbers, people would just... I mean, like, never in my life would I ever think I'd be paying the rents that I'm paying. Well, like, coming from... I grew up in the projects in Buffalo, so, you know, $20 for a meal for five was, like, that was a... You know, that was a lot.
And you're able to sleep at night?
I sleep great.
Good. Okay. You're not like, how am I going to make all
no,
this?
No, no. Yeah. I have a great life.
You're good. Good. So what's fascinating now is how vegan cuisine has evolved, and it continues to evolve, and it becomes more exciting. And it's not, you know, brown rice and steamed veggies anymore, although I love brown rice and steamed veggies.
I do, too.
Going to PS Kitchen, it's a very unique place and very unique flavors. And I don't remember seeing a green salad on the menu. Have you?
There's
not. I mean, that's okay. But I just
purposeful. I'm not a huge fan of salads, but we felt the pressure and we might put one on. But I don't know. Like that to me, it's not a food group. But we have them at Terry, and you know, we have the green smoothies. I never had kale before I moved to New York. I never had quinoa. I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that I've, you know, been exposed to because of my diet and because of the restrictions, ironically, to the diet, that I've explored so many more things that are out there. It's great.
Yeah. It's when people start to get to know food and what's in their food, it's a wonderful thing, but it's also can be a very annoying thing because all the foodies can be very demanding and very particular. New Yorkers are very demanding about their food to begin with, wanting exactly what they want, and why don't you have it
when I want it?
And it shouldn't have, you know, weed or soy or whatever the trend is, problem food is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've done very well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So tell me more about PS Kitchen and what's happening. You got a liquor license?
Oh, yeah.
Because when we were there, you didn't have
it.
That's
right.
But as a result, you had some wonderful non-alcoholic
We did, mixtures. And we have since fully loaded those wonderful non-alcoholic drinks. So they are now available. Yeah.
I had the War of the Roses.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
It's stunning, beautiful with the colors and the flavors.
Yeah, we're ready for action. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Now, does the menu change, or is it...
The menu is going to change, yes, seasonally. And so we're already working on our fall menu right now. Yeah.
Can we, can you entice me a little bit? I'm starving right now, so talking about food would be a good idea.
I mean, a lot of the ideas... I mean, so we have the strawberry shortcake on the menu, which is a summer dish. It's one of my favorites. Just in terms of, there's an almond cream that goes with it, which is incredible. And I think that, to me, I personally think that makes the dish. So we're talking about, you know, something simple as putting pears, which I love pears and I love apple, but probably pear, I think, would go nicely with that. Mm. But as far as the rest of the menu, I'm really leaving this up to my chefs. You know, I throw them ideas. I tell them the things I like. You know, we have a buffalo hen of the woods dish, and there's a German potato salad with purple sweet potatoes. And that was something that I asked for. I said, like, these are just, I just threw out some ideas. Like, these are dishes I loved as a kid. Elevate them. And they did. And so that I'm going to see what they can do with some of my fall ideas. But I haven't seen.
Did you have purple sweet potatoes?
No. We didn't. That was one. No, never.
Because I just discovered them a few years ago. The first purple sweet potato I ever had, it tasted like a donut to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're very. Yeah, they're really nice. But that's the idea. I take something that's sort of I don't want to say like peasant food because you know, but you know what I mean. I take something simple that my parents and grandparents made and. I say, you know, what can you do with this? And that's what they came up with. So I was really happy with it.
Yeah. Lovely. Okay. I just had a thought and it left my head, but that's okay.
It sometimes happens.
Oh, especially when you're running like this on all four and
four
cylinders or whatever. Are there cylinders in cars anymore?
I believe so. I believe so. Some of them.
Okay. I wasn't going to say that you have to have salads on your menu, but I just found it so unique what you were offering. You know, we go to different restaurants with different kinds of cuisine, and so when you visit a Chinese restaurant or an Indian restaurant, you're not going to expect to find what you find in an Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And now vegan cuisine is developing in such a way that there are all these different facets of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to expect quinoa or brown rice at every restaurant.
Yeah.
Or green salads. Although I do recommend it because, I mean, well, sometimes it's the same thing with any restaurant where I wish more restaurants would offer vegan options because then everybody could dine together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things that motivates me to create dishes is I want to appeal to, I was trying to think of like what my parents would want or what I would want before I was vegetarian. So, you know, I'm trying to appeal to the, you know, the mainstream essentially. And as you know, there's stereotypes of vegan food. And I think that Terry does a good job of bucking those stereotypes. So, and that's what I want to continue to do with PS. So those are, I'm very cognizant about the fact that we don't have brown rice and we don't have quinoa and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with it. I love those myself personally. And not to say that it won't happen someday. It's just that when it will happen, it'll happen in a way that I think will be unexpected, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flavors and the textures are all very unusual, but not off-putting. Like, what is this? It's like, what is this, you know? But I'm thinking, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I've been, my parents, my dad's 89, my mom's 84, they're going through some challenging times, and I've been spending more time with them, taking them to doctors and going to their restaurants, which has not been very pleasant for me. I've, like, visited every diner on Long Island. and they could use your help.
Oh, boy.
But then I took them to a place that I wanted to go to, and then I had to, like, review the menu and say, okay, what is on here that their palate would understand?
Right.
They're not big fans of cumin and curry flavors. So, and that's a popular flavoring in a lot of vegan food. Yeah, I love it but
is. Yeah, I totally understand that. I remember one of my first vegan Thanksgivings I went to, there was something with cumin in it, and I was like, this does not belong in a Thanksgiving dinner. I just thought it was sacrilegious in some way. But I can
is
relate.
PS Kitchen going to have a Thanksgiving
we will
menu?
Yeah.
Is it going to be anything like Thanksgiving as we know it?
Yes, it will.
Okay, yeah. Turkey, mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce?
Elevated, yeah. But, elevated. We're going to do some stuff with that for sure. Yeah.
Oh, I might have to check that out.
That's one of my favorite meals of the year, for sure.
Yeah, so I love Thanksgiving, and I've loved preparing Thanksgiving meals, but it comes with so much stress and things when you're inviting people that aren't vegan, and I keep saying, okay, we're going out next year. We haven't done it yet, but maybe we'll go out this year.
You should. I mean, you can ask people that went to the Thanksgiving event at Woodstock last year. We catered that event, and I personally think my grandma made the best stuffing in the world, and we will probably have that stuffing featured in some way at our restaurant. I think it's delicious. So
yes.
Delicious.
Okay, back to Terry. I read in your bio, which I didn't read to everyone, that you have a Plates by Terry, a catering business?
Yeah, a catering business, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where do we get to find out about that or access it?
Platesbyterry.com. Mm,
okay.
So, there's a website. And we, we've catered several weddings. We've done some large events for, you know, like Woodstock and some other people.
So is the food a little more varied than it is at your restaurants?
It's closer to PS, yeah. It's much different
it's
than
more
Terry.
Elevated.
It's more elevated, exactly.
I'm trying to use your vocabulary.
yeah, for sure.
Okay. Wow, that's good to know.
Well,
okay.
You know, I mean, like, I created the menu at Terry and myself with some people, and there's other things that I could cook that aren't appropriate for Terry, and this is a way for me to showcase those things, so it's fun. Yeah.
What did you have for lunch today?
Oh, my God, I had, like, half of my menu at PS. It was awesome. I had the buffalo hen of the woods. I had the Colombian potato soup. I had the orzo alfredo.
Oh, that's like good.
Yeah, with the sun-dried tomato and chili compote. I had a, what else did I have? I had the crispy artichokes and the, I swear I'm not, like, plugging. I literally had all these things. I was just in another interview, and they were, like, they wanted to taste some things, so. So a couple other things. The burger as well. We have the Beyond Meat burger, which is incredible. Oh God, that's so good. Yeah, it's just so good. I mean, you gotta have to recognize brilliance when there's brilliance.
Mm. Well, I had the ginger congee, and I was just talking about it because I made some congee at home. But my congee is like not real congee because I use whole grains, so the rice doesn't really melt.
Oh, right.
But it was still quite good, and I just love ginger and can't add enough.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now I am really suffering here because I am hungry.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And no, that's what happens on this show where we talk about food. So what can we expect from you next?
Ooh, I want to, you know, I'm taking the training wheels off PS Kitchen a little bit, and then I will focus my eyes on another project.
I just remembered what it was that
I
forgot before. I was talking to Pedram Shojai before of well.org, and he has this movie coming out called Prosperity. Mm-hmm. And the theme of the movie is about how we can actually have profit by having businesses that have a purpose and a social benefit. And then I was following up with you, which is one beautiful and delicious example of businesses that have a beautiful purpose and making delicious food that's good for us and good for the planet and kind of giving people access to make healthy choices that aren't going to be bad for the planet or cruel to animals.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a business that is profiting with a purpose.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, yeah. And we're trying to create a social business here in New York. So not only are we giving all the profits to charity, but we're also working with organizations here in New York that I guess that's all I'll say. Just, you know, helping people locally. So we work with the Doe Fund and Restore the Bowery Mission here locally.
Thank you. We're done.
Great.
And I wanted to wrap up with that very bit of last information. They give their profits to charity, and they're helping very worthwhile organizations. Beautiful.
Thank you,
Craig Cochran, for joining me on It's All About Food. And go and visit PS Kitchen today.
Thank you for having me.
Everybody, thanks for joining me. I'm Karen Hartglass. This has been another episode of It's All About Food. Have a delicious week.